KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Top Canadian cabinet officials are in South Florida to meet with officials from the Trump transition. Canada's one country the president-elect has targeted in social media posts less than a month before he takes office.
In a flurry of social media posts on Christmas Day, Trump suggesting that the U.S. could take control of Canada, parts of Panama and Greenland, leading to swift pushback from key allies. The president of Panama, Jose Raul Molino, calling President-elect Donald Trump's claims that Chinese soldiers are running the Panama Canal nonsense.
It's ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The head of Russia's civil aviation authority says there was a Ukrainian drone attack ongoing as an Azerbaijani airliner tried to land Christmas Day. That plane crashed in Kazakhstan, and aviation experts say it was hit by Russian anti-aircraft fire. It's one of the busiest travel periods of the year in the U.S., and for the second time in about a month, a stowaway found aboard a Delta flight, the unticketed passenger arrested in Seattle. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin as they can get tangled up in the equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in the recycling bin as they could cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. As whooping cough continues to spread, Wisconsin has seen one of the worst outbreaks in the country. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Wisconsin trails only New York and Pennsylvania in the number of reported cases. Department of Health Services data shows nearly 2,400 reported cases this year, a huge increase from the 51 reported cases last year. Nationwide, the number of whooping cough cases are the highest they've been since 2014, and in Wisconsin, they're the highest they've been since 2012. A troublesome eyesore in Duluth is finally set to be demolished over the next few months. Residents have long complained of the deteriorated parking ramp on 2nd Avenue West, which has been empty for years, boarded up, and covered in graffiti. Because the structure shares supports with the adjacent New Garrick building, demolishing the property while still preserving the historic New Garrick building will be a more complicated process. Still, officials expect to be able to demolish the blighted parking ramp this winter. The Lake Superior Zoo has announced the introduction of two new animals to their facility. According to zoo officials, two caribou named Jingle and Snowflake arrived on Tuesday just in time to celebrate the holidays in their new home. The Lake Superior Zoo is planning to upgrade two of its deer yards with a barn and construct a log cabin designed for visitors to watch the animals. Officials praised the new acquisitions as a big step in their conservation efforts, as the animals haven't been seen in the wild in the region in decades. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose to Brooklyn. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks looked like they were on their way to another home victory until the Nets took command late in the fourth quarter to win 111-105. A disappointed Bobby Portis, who scored 18, sat at his locker after the loss.
Yeah, we could have won that game tonight. We were up. We had momentum. They jumped on us in the fourth quarter, got momentum, and then we didn't recover. It sucks, but we'll be back Saturday. We're going to get a win.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their rematch against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Green Bay lost at home to the Vikings week 4, 31-29. The Vikings led 28-7 at the half.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it wasn't our best game. Obviously, I think just too many turnovers, and I think we just got in a hole early.
We just got off to a slow start, put ourselves in a hole, and you know, I like the way we finished. We did some good things the second half, but just not good enough in the first half.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have some dense fog this morning, and it's going to be cloudy, drizzly, and foggy again for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 42. Tonight, rain likely. Could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more down to 34. Tomorrow, some rain mixed with light snow with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show.
It's a good song, Earl. You ought to make this your theme.
You know what? I've been playing this song for 52 years.
52 years?
This song came out in 1970.
Right.
And you think about, if you listen to the lyrics, it's relevant.
No, it's about political processes that are not working.
Yeah, he was so far ahead of the curve with this, and it sounds, and every time I listen to it, I hear something different. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know, we've got to find a way to bring some understanding. I mean, all of those things are relevant to today. Well, let's get started. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. It was a dreary morning, but better than the fog yesterday.
Let me ask you, man, young single guy, are you going to burn the town down on New Year's?
I don't have plans as of yet. Probably not.
Sandy, a 25-year-old guy. Let me ask you.
New Year's, I never, ever. New Year's was only a time.
Amateur hour?
It was amateur hour. stay off the streets. It's kind of like St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. All right. So by now, if you don't know who that is, it's my co-host Sandy Williams. And, you know, Sandy doesn't like to talk about himself and who he is and all those things. But for new listeners who wonder, who is this guy? He's always got something to add. He's always got something to say about things. Sandy, a little bit about who Sandy Williams is. A little bit, just a wee bit. So people can say, well, that guy's doing a lot of talking, but who is he?
Yeah, well, you know, he's, yeah.
and why does he feel so, you know, privileged to tell us all about what's going on in this country?
Been around for many decades, okay? That's probably the prime reason.
A lot of us have been around many decades.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, yeah. So, spent a long time practicing law, was in politics for a while, trained, you know, went to school as an economist, went to business school, law school, and came away knowing that I didn't know a lot.
You've got some street cred.
Possibly. that should be the thing that everyone judges rather than
you've got some street cred, and that's what people need to know. Sandy Williams has some street cred to talk about these issues that we talk about. But anyway, I don't know how much your street cred goes into the drone conversation, Sandy. just a week ago, it's all people talk the drone. The drones.
Orson Welles and the War of the Worlds. Yeah. That goes been Orson Welles, this guy from Kenosha, Wisconsin, had this radio show.
My favorite movie.
Yeah, the radio, War of the Worlds. Yeah, and then it was a radio show to start right. with, the War of the Worlds, and he announces the invasion of Martians, and the world believed it. Everyone listening to the radios had a couple of minutes there where they thought we were invaded by Martians. So yeah, that kind of happened again in New Jersey. And I think it's because our social media and our actual media have turned into tabloid. You know, it's whatever is exciting, whatever is frightening, whatever sells, it goes, right? So we have this phenomena ongoing in New Jersey and immediately turns into Martians or or Chinese or Russia, whatever, you know. And we leap to the furthest conclusion, hysteria reigns. Our president-elect wants to talk about it.
The governor, the mayor.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it and worried about it.
All the news outlets.
Turns out that worry only lasted about 3 days. Yeah, 4 days.
Maybe. Yeah, but the people were in panic. Okay, they've got to tell us something is up there, and they won't let us know what it is. And it's all that they talked about.
Well, and, you know, to me, that's symptomatic. That's how we've been living for the last 3 decades or 2 decades is everyone gets inflamed. You know, our hair, let's put it this way. I'm surprised any of us have any hair because we all behave like our hair is on fire. Okay. And it just seems to have become a way of life that whatever happens is a big deal. The storm that's going to be next week, worst storm ever, batten down the hatches. And it's kind of like wolf. I'm afraid that this hysteria over everything is ultimately going to numb us to the point where when it really happens, we're all going to say, yeah.
So whatever happened.
Whatever.
Well, so it's Chicken Little.
Yes.
So whatever happened to independent thought, Sandy? It used to be that people would have independent thought. It's almost like the people don't have independent thought anymore. Well, it's groupthink.
Well, the thing is, we talked about this on the way down here, but it used to be, before radio and TV, all we had was community. We had the place we lived in and newspapers, and we would read a newspaper, and otherwise we could talk to our neighbors. But our capacity to get worried about something that was happening in New Jersey, if we lived in Wisconsin, was about nil. We wouldn't care about it. And so what's happening now is people are getting all fired up about things in which they are not having firsthand experience. It's all secondhand experience. If it was happening right down the block, you could all go reach your own judgment about what it is. Oh, those lights, yeah, that's the Northern Lights. Don't worry about it. but if it's happening in New Jersey and we simply get told about it by hysterical sources, we can all get hysterical too.
You know, Sandy, and this thing just went on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, it died out inside of a week. It disappeared.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it, even it's social media talking about it. They were talking about it on the afternoon and evening news. They spent all this time, they sent all the reporters, everybody was, you know, the invasion's coming. It's coming. And the government knows it, and Joe Biden knows it, and he's not doing anything about it. And we need to know. And these people got everybody alarmed. I never got alarmed about
it. See how exciting it can be, though? Just you can hear it in your voice. You're chewing on the bait.
Well, I just don't understand how we've gotten to where we don't think for ourselves anymore.
Well, I think sheeple is a real problem.
Yeah, sheeple, yeah.
I think we have become, in many respects, sheeple, and that's how herds react. You know, herds will react in kind of a wild way when they get confronted with a problem. You can see them. They turn and run, and they all run together hysterically. And so I think we have become a people who are not thinking for ourselves, and we're being told how we should believe in order to be a conservative, how we should believe in order to be a liberal. You know, the political correct movement was kind of a sheeple thing. There's just a lot of sheeple going around.
You know, as a guy who's lived a few years, I do remember America and Americans at a time before this. And I think we were just, it was a little bit better when people had to make up their own minds about things. And they would weigh these things themselves and say, this is what I believe.
Well, there was a world of Walter Cronkite and Newman and the other the other newsmen and news media, which prided themselves on being relatively, or at least apparently, unbiased. I think they all carried a bias of some sort. But people went to the news. They found it credible. They seemed to be factual. And I think it was, in fact, a great deal more factual then than it is now in terms of the way things were presented and what things were chosen to be presented. And we lived in a world of trust. I mean, the 50s were definitely a time of public trust. The 60s were until Vietnam and the apparent dismay we all experienced when we realized that things weren't as they seemed about Vietnam. And we became susceptible to theories, you know, with the assassinations, they were sort of beyond rationale, and we all began to exercise
imagination. We knew something wasn't right.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've evolved into this over time. The group psyche of the people who've lived through all of that set us up to be, I think, less inclined to relate directly to what we're told.
So if you just joining us, it is Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak, and we're not going back to those times when people did those kinds of things. And I think what it does is it puts us in a situation, Sandy, of jeopardy and peril when we can't ourselves make decisions predicated on what, I mean, we used to have to read things, right? Whatever it is you want to know in this world, it's in a book. Don't ask me how it got there, but anything you need to know in this world, you're a well-read man, it's in a book. We don't read books much anymore.
We argue about the facts. You know, we argue about sourcing the facts, but most of the sourcing that we argue about isn't a book. You know, it isn't a written book. It's some social media source. It's some news media source. It's some governmental source. So we've had trouble now finding sources that we can trust and that we can mutually trust so that we can get on the same page on facts so that we can then get on the same page about solutions to the issues that we have to address. Our world is much different today, Earl, than it was when you and I were younger in terms of where the country is and where we can imagine that the country's going in this next new year and the new years thereafter. Because now I can imagine perilous outcomes for our country that I couldn't imagine 20 years ago or 30 years
ago. So you having said that, that's where we're headed. We're going to talk about a litany of things as we approach 2025. Where our nation is headed, how, if possible, if we can change the trajectory of what could, Sandy, become perilous times, and whether or not the American people are awoke to what's transpiring and whether or not we can transform it and change it and correct it before we go down a path that I think once you and I have this conversation with the audience, can be considered perilous. It's where we're going. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue.
made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sandy Williams. All right, welcome back.
It's going to be a funky
to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Believe it or not, Sandy Williams, A Funky New Year.
The Eagles.
All right. What was that? Oh, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 855-752-4842. You could text us at that same number. I don't know if the new year is going to be funky, but it is going to be harrowing.
Well, it all depends on what you mean by funky, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be funky.
All right. Let's do this. So, Sandy, we wanted to talk about systematically. We're going to talk about a whole array of things that all tie in together throughout this entire show. And I think it's great that we can begin this conversation because the new year's right around the corner, new president, and all of those things, Sandy. But systematically, you wanted to begin by talking about a tax cut that Donald Trump is and Republicans are proposing.
Well,
what happens with that?
Well, I think the main point is that they're going to do this tax cut early, right? They're going to do right first thing.
It's going to happen.
First agenda for Congress, okay? I mean, I'm more worried about the stuff the president's going to do that doesn't involve Congress. But the first congressional stuff he's going to do, tax reduction. Why do they do the tax reduction first? Well, first of all, we're operating with big deficits. And it's fiscally irresponsible to have another tax reduction that's going to simply increase the deficit that we're experiencing. So to support a tax reduction, the only responsible thing would be to figure out programmatic cuts to offset the loss of revenue that will be caused by the tax reduction. But you can't do that, right? If you want to pass the tax reduction, you can't tell the people how they're going to pay for it up front, because then you'll never get to the tax reduction. If you start talking about all the programmatic cuts that you need to make in order to get to the tax reduction, the people are going to rise up and say, "You can't! Don't do that! Don't do that! Don't do that! Don't do that! Don't cut the taxes if that's what if that's what's required. So what's happened in every administration that wants to cut taxes is they do it first. And then they start talking about how they're short on revenue. Now they're even shorter on revenue because they just cut the taxes. So now we've got to go out and make some big cuts in programs. And so that's what Mr. Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are all about. They're going to cut these taxes first, and then these people are going to come in with hatchets and axes to cut expenditures to try and measure to match the tax reduction, or even more than match the tax reduction. It's irresponsible. It's the path to casino bankruptcy that Donald Trump used for his businesses is to incur more debt, which is what it is when you cut taxes. And up front, okay, you shouldn't do it that way. And I'm troubled that that's what's going to happen. And politically, what's going to happen is probably the same as 2017. Throw a bone to the middle class, give them a $300 or $400 tax reduction. Tell them it's a big deal. And meanwhile, all those people who own assets, all the wealthy people who are at the top 1% are going to get huge tax reductions. Okay, it'll have a huge impact on their capacity to amass even more wealth, which is not something that is critical to them, and it's not something that will improve the economy at all.
So Sandy, when you talk about tax breaks for the wealthiest amongst us, and all I've been hearing about, and we've been hearing about, is this, what is it, $40 billion? Trillion dollars that we owe, 35, 38, whatever it is, debt, and the impact that has on our economy long term. How do you dig yourself out of that calamity already if you're going to pour even more gas on that fire?
Well, it's totally fiscally irresponsible. It's irresponsible. The tax reduction in 2017 was fiscally irresponsible. We had a roaring economy, okay? And we poured gasoline on the fire, and all it did is perk the economy up even just a bit more. But it wasn't a responsible thing to do. And there's all this talk about waste in government, but we're going to find out that there isn't billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of waste in the federal government. The only way they can cut the federal government massively is to massively cut programs, okay?
Or the military.
And the military, which is a program. But, the notion of waste really means that things are being done inefficiently. And what we need is the government to deliver the programs that are meant to be delivered based on congressional action efficiently. And so I'm all for efficiency improvements in the federal government, but there's nowhere near the kind of money that can be derived from more efficient operations.
That offsets the major tax cut that they're getting ready to give.
Absolutely not. They don't square it at all. And so we're being hoodwinked, okay? And we're being hoodwinked by those who will most benefit from tax reductions. And
But Sandy, we've been that road before.
Well, I know, this whole trickle-down thing. I mean, what the problem with the American people is that we admire wealthy people. We don't envy them. We don't ostracize them, as many societies do. The European society is much more likely to be suspicious of those with wealth. The American public embrace them. Elon Musk is a hero, okay? And I don't begrudge people their wealth. I just think that we need to understand that wealth is amassed because these people live in a country that affords them that opportunity. And they ought to be willing and interested in paying taxes. And they ought to want to live in a country where Tom, Dick, and Mary can thrive as well.
So I don't think it's so much wealth as it is obscene wealth. A guy with $400 billion and climbing, come on.
Yeah, he needs an extra reduction.
Yeah, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to continue a discussion that you should hear. And certainly involve yourself with. But I can't get this out of my mind. Sandy Williams is playing Bootsy Collins in 2025. All right, man.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. With the new year right around the corner, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is working to find more creative solutions to affordable housing issues across the state. The agency has been providing funds through programs like the Community Development Investment and Idle Site Redevelopment Grants to convert buildings like former motels and commercial facilities into affordable housing units. Access to housing has been identified as one of the biggest challenges facing Wisconsin residents for 2025. As the holiday travel season begins to wind down, the Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles is once again reminding residents to upgrade to a real ID. Starting in May, regular driver's licenses or ID cards will not be accepted for flights or entering federal buildings and military bases. DMV officials say about 60% of eligible residents already have a real ID, which they started issuing in 2013. To get a real ID, residents will need to bring proof of their name, date of birth, address, and social security number to their local DMV office. The second of two men accused of leading Rice Lake police officers on a high-speed chase earlier this year has entered a not guilty plea. According to court documents, 24-year-old Nicholas Snow of Illinois was charged with attempting to flee or elude an officer after allegedly leading authorities on a chase that reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. The other accused individual, an 18-year-old Cumberland man, entered a not guilty plea to the same charge in November. Snow's next court appearance is scheduled for February 14th. Barron County authorities are reminding residents to check ice conditions after two people fell in the water on Wednesday. According to a press release, the Barron County Sheriff's Department responded to the fall near Chetek at around 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. When they arrived, they found the two people who had fallen through the ice while riding a UTV had already been helped out of the water by family members. One of them was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other was treated and released at the scene. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In typecasting news, actor Jared Leto will play the role of Skeletor in the new live-action film Masters of the Universe. Leto is embracing the villain role as the skeleton who is a skull-faced archenemy of He-Man. The Oscar-winning actor and star of Dallas Buyers Club has agreed to join the project alongside director Travis Knight. Cast members already in place include Alison Brie and Idris Elba. Leto embraces playing outlandish characters. MGM Amazon is the studio behind the film, which opens June 5th, 2026. There are those who don't think COVID was real. 1923 actress Danielle Vasanova is not one of them. Vasanova starred in 1923, the Yellowstone prequel, and she was one of the first people to suffer from COVID-19 long before it became widespread. The actress said she was diagnosed with strep throat, but shortly after, her organs shut down, and she died for 3 minutes. Vasanova will star opposite Michelle Pfeiffer in a new Yellowstone spinoff called Madison. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have some dense fog this morning, and it's going to be cloudy, drizzly, and foggy again for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 42. Tonight, rain likely. Could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more down to 34. Tomorrow, some rain mixed with light snow with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
the stroke of midnight on that great holiday. Gonna have a ball, and that ain't all. Gonna chase the blues away. I'll be bringing it.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, we talked about the tax reduction that Donald Trump is talking about, the impact of what that is going to have on a nation that's already struggling economically and a poor and middle class citizens who are looking and hoping that things are going to change for them, and just had an election and a guy who's now going to be the president of the United States is the guy pushing another big tax break after he had promised them he was going to do something to make things better for them. He talked about their pain. He felt their pain.
No, and he talked about their pain.
Right.
He said he felt their pain. I'm not willing to go all the way to the fact that he felt their pain, because I don't think he ever has felt that pain. And I think what's troubling now is that we're heading off into an environment over the next 4 years where we're going to be stressing some of the very most fundamental parts of the American political structure, the structure that is our government. And that stress could well create major fissures, major kind of a seismic event with respect to our government's capacity to govern us. And one of the problems that Tom, Dick, and Mary has is the frustration they've experienced. It's an economic frustration, it's a financial frustration, and it's been a political frustration. Nothing gets accomplished ever since Karl Rove and the gridlock of Washington froze the processes of government. And since the middle class has faced increasing problems with the cost of their health care, the cost of their child daycare, the cost of housing, the cost of education, and since they've become double breadwinners, all of these things have stressed the middle class to the point where things don't seem to be working for them. And so that frustration undoubtedly led to the capacity of someone who is a charismatic leader, Donald Trump, to grab a hold of the populace, those who are frustrated, to grab a hold of their frustration, and to say, you're mad, I'm mad, let's join forces, let's get something done. Now, he's not told them what he's going to get done for them, but clearly the steps that he's now talking about have nothing to do with improving the lot of Tom, Dick, and Mary, including a tax reduction that redounds materially to the benefit of large corporations and wealthy individuals, people who have money so they can pay taxes.
So, Sandy, Tony says we've been told rich people got that way through hard work, and we value hard work, but hard work is not how the obscenely wealthy got their money.
Well, my point, and I've said this in the car, the system we have rewards people who own assets. And by assets, I mean real estate, a house, that's the main source of wealth for most people, but also intangible assets, stocks, bonds, real estate.
Pro football teams.
Yes. I mean, the things that you can own that can escalate in value far, far faster than you can earn money, whether you earn money at the rate of $40 an hour or $1,000 an hour, whatever the rate at which you earn money by the hour, you can't get amazingly wealthy through the sweat of on your back. Okay, you can only get amazingly wealthy based on the ability of the assets you own to multiply in value rapidly, and that's how the very wealthy get wealthy. But Tom, Dick, and Mary have a terrible problem being able to own assets. It's very difficult for them, particularly if you live paycheck to paycheck. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you don't develop and accumulate assets at all.
But amazingly wealthy is not what people are trying to get. They're just trying to own a house, a couple dollars in the bank. I mean, the American dream.
What's interesting to me is that it's the amazingly wealthy, it's the top 1% who are pushing hardest for tax reductions. They've already made it. And it's almost like they want to pull the ladder up behind them because why would they want to reduce taxes so they can accumulate even more wealth when the amazingly wealthy are at the busily accumulating wealth, not for themselves. They can't possibly spend it. They are accumulating it for not even just their children or grandchildren, but the amazingly wealthy, the billionaires, are accumulating money, I guess, for their great-great-grandchildren. And, you know, if they continue to behave this way, if they continue to create a system that doesn't work for Tom, Dick, and Mary, if they continue to create a system that can't be fixed from within by political and governmental action, then it will break, so, okay? And their great-grandchildren won't get that money after the revolution.
So you use the verbiage revolution. America's trust in the nation's systems have hit record lows. And you and I and others see it. We've seen the fact that would have never believed that we would have lived long enough to see this nation being challenged, its systems being challenged from within.
Yeah.
Because it's always been the outside world is coming after us because they're jealous of us. But I remember reading something decades ago about America will be destroyed from within.
Well, my point about my worry about the next administration is not what Congress will do, okay? It's what the president will do in the exercise of his presidential powers and testing the imperial powers of the presidency. How far can the president push his ability to do things unilaterally? And when you're doing that, you're pressing against the Constitution, right? The Constitution is the thing that constrains the power of the president. So when you operate at or beyond the edge of the envelope of the power of the president, the only entity out there that is in a position to constrain your power is the Supreme Court. And so it will have to be the Supreme Court that will exercise a constraint on the power of the president for him, for keeping him from taking a hold of massive imperial powers. I mean, if the president were to decide to declare martial law for whatever reason, for instance, for the purpose of deporting foreign nationals, who could constrain that exercise of martial law? Well, only the Supreme Court. We watched South Korea go through a political crisis for that very kind of reason. Is President Trump, could he do such a thing? I don't know, but I can imagine it. But there are other things as well. I mean, many forms of the exercise of his presidential power will press up against the Constitution. Can he fire 15,000 or 20,000 federal workers in order to replace them with politically loyal people? We'll find out, but the court is the one that will decide whether he can or not.
But Americans have lost faith in the court system. It's at an all-time record low at a time of heightened political division. America's confidence in their country's judicial system has dropped to a record low.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the New York Times.
Yeah.
But I think that clearly it has, because it's been under assault from the left and from the right. You know, the left is of a view that the courts have given Teflon Don a pass on everything. That's what they call him. And on the right believes that the prosecutorial system and the courts have been politicized to use against Donald Trump. And Donald Trump himself has directly assaulted the courts every time they've tried to constrain his power. He's attacked them directly. So from the standpoint of the confidence of the public in the court, it's definitely been eroded very materially. It was also eroded by the likes of the civil rights issues and the trials of the police around the country with respect to their conduct of their police powers within the communities. And so, yes, we have an erosion of the confidence in the courts, but it is only the court that can constrain the power of the president. And so we're going to have potentially constitutional crises associated with that. And if this court doesn't stand up to this president, then we can figure that there might be an exercise, an effort to get a third term. There might be a declaration of martial law. There's all kinds of things that the president could do, which would create the kind of constitutional crisis that is kind of frightening and hard to imagine.
But I don't feel comfortable with the makeup of the United States Supreme Court as it is today, since Donald Trump single-handedly appointed four of them.
Well, there you go. See, you're one of these people who's lost confidence.
Well, okay? Yes. Well, because visually, we've seen. Right? I mean, they have supported Donald Trump, Sandy, in ways I don't think they would have supported other people. And the fact that he's done things illegally.
Yeah, Trump appointed three of these.
Three of them.
Yeah, Thomas was appointed before. But the fact is that we have had something kind of like this during the New Deal, okay? The court, when FDR took office, was a conservative court. And he appointed Felix Frankfurter and a number of liberals to the court. And that court ended up sustaining the redefinition of interstate commerce to the point that allowed the federal government to exercise a great deal of administrative regulatory controls that were enacted during the New Deal. And so that was a time that we had kind of a whole bunch of constitutional tests, and we withstood that. I'm just much more worried about a president who's interested in exercising power beyond the Constitution and wanting to stretch the version of the presidential powers. The contests that were involved with FDR and the New Deal were the powers of Congress with respect to regulation, not the power of the president, okay? Now what we have is someone who wants to exercise the power of the president to the nth degree. That's what Project 2025 wants to accomplish. That's clearly what Donald Trump wants to accomplish. And I'm just concerned that what we could end up with in 4 years is a constitutional crisis based on a failure of the judiciary. And the epiphany I've had, even as a lawyer, is in the last 10 years I've come to realize how fundamentally important to the American political system our courts are and confidence in the courts are. Because the only power that the courts have is dependent on the public's confidence in the judicial system. The courts, other than locally where they have sheriff and police to arrest Tom, Dick, and Mary, nationally, the courts have no power for enforcement other than through the executive.
Let's go to Dave from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Dave. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Sandy, I have had a question and confusion about the state of Wisconsin surplus. I hear them talking that it's about $4 billion, the surplus, and the controversy on what to do with it. I occasionally visit the U.S. debt clock. It shows the United States government debt at about $36 trillion. But it also, it's really nice. You can go and look at the states.
Right. Seen it. Go ahead.
So I look. I'm on the state of Wisconsin debt clock, and they have a state and local section, and it says that the state of Wisconsin debt is running at $53.25 billion of debt. So,
well, let me say that the state of Wisconsin cannot constitutionally run a deficit. So the extent to which it has debt which it has floated in the municipal bond in the bond market to finance.
That's covered. Yeah.
Yeah, which are authorized by the state legislature, and so they have bonds that are issued, and municipalities do the same thing. They can issue municipal bonds. So there's no such thing as a debt that is the basis or caused by a deficit, because localities in the state can't print money. They can't come up with anything other than, and they can't borrow for operating costs. They have to borrow for capital costs.
So, Dave, quickly, what was your question?
Why don't we use that surplus to pay down the debt so we can save on the interest?
All right, Dave, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. You know, we're going to move on in our discussion with Sandy, especially when we talk about what impact this has on your and my everyday life and your confidence in our nation. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central Heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the music.
New Year's, different kinds of New Year's conversations lyrically.
Before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, I want to read a couple of paragraphs. The United States saw a sharp drop of 24 percentage points over the last 4 years, setting the country apart from other wealthy nations where most people on average still express trust in their systems. The results come after a tumultuous period that included the overturning of the nationwide right to abortion, the indictment of former President Donald Trump, and the subsequent withdrawal of federal charges and his attacks on the integrity of the judicial system. The drop wasn't limited to one end of the political spectrum. Confidence dropped among people who disapproved of the country's leadership during Joe Biden's presidency and among those who approved, according to Gallup. The respondents weren't asked about their party affiliations. Sandy, so I can't, it's hard for me to trust a society and a government that if I do something that's not right, the judicial system is going to punish me as an American citizen. And I've got to hire an attorney and I've got to try to fight something that in most instances I'm going to wind up losing. But there's a double standard for somebody like Donald Trump with a lot of money.
Well, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of, it's different though.
He's and politics. Power.
He's got a political position.
But that shouldn't matter when we're talking about.
Well, like I said, though, and I said this early on prior to the, at the time of the initiation of the litigation against him, that the judiciary is in a tough spot. They're between a rock and a hard spot. When a president acts outside the norms, when a president starts trying to press beyond the edge of the envelope, whether it be a matter of civil law or a matter of constitutional law, when you try to have a court enforce an action against a president, you end up with a conflict in power that involves political power and judicial power. And the ultimately, the judicial power is dependent on the faith and trust of the American people. And the more they put that into play on a political basis, then the less trust there is. And when they lose that trust, we're losing the most fundamental constraint on the power of the president. And that is the way the balance of power of our government is set up. There needs to be someone who judges who has what power does the Congress have, what power does the president have. Well, that's to be decided by the Supreme Court. And if we lose power, if we lose confidence in the Supreme Court, the whole thing crumbles.
Sending justice.
And when it crumbles, it means that it can't be fixed from within. And so here's my fear, that we've got an economic system that isn't working well right now for Tom, Dick, and Mary. And as a result, they're blaming not only the economic system, but the political system and their version or their concept of who the establishment is. And we have rampant right now a great deal of anti-establishment mood. Some people think the establishment is the government, the deep state. Some people think the establishment is corporate America and business. And that kind of defines the difference between the left and the right. But we have a lot of people who are working now thinking anti-establishment thoughts, and they want things to change. Well, if you can't change the system from within, then there's only one way to change it, from which is from without, some form of revolution. That revolution can be is likely to be populist. It can be one that leads to autocracy. It can be one that leads to some revision in government. But nothing good will come of it, because the version of government we have right now is probably the optimal version we can come up with. It's if it's broken, it needs to be fixed from within.
Sandy, justice is supposed to be blind. What Donald Trump was being accused of was before he became the president. So when you say that he can commit crimes,
well,
and then before becoming the president, that he shouldn't be held accountable for. The rest of us, if we commit a crime, we're held accountable for that.
Well, the problem with the crimes he was charged with were technical paper type violations. It was as if he was charged with tax evasion. He made the description. He made the comparison of himself to Al Capone, and you know Al Capone
went to jail for it,
for tax evasion.
Right.
He never went to jail for killing all the people he killed. So right. Donald Trump was telling people, "Look, I'm being charged with something, so they can get me." But it's not. But it's just technical, and the fact is that it was kind of technical. It wasn't a crime that was prosecuted very often, and so it caused an erosion in the. Look, I'm not arguing that he didn't commit them. He did. He was. A jury decided he did. So I have to say he did, and I think he did. But the fact is that it eroded the confidence in the courts in a manner that is troublesome for the system, okay? It's troublesome for the system. And so that's why it's important that when we elect presidents, they be people who are likely to operate within the norms of civil law and within the norms of constitutional law and criminal law. And we ended up electing this guy who is charismatic based on his personality, who actually operates way outside
so, Sandy,
the norms.
I'm not so delusional that I'm going to sit here and try to debate law with you. What I'm saying is the belief that we've had in this system is that it treated everybody the same. It's the one thing about our judicial system that was supposed to make us better.
You're just giving voice to the fact that people now have less trust in the judicial system.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. We're going to drill even deeper on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Is the new year going to be a difficult year for home buyers? Right now, mortgage rates are at a five-month high, 6.85%, but ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says
still glimmers of hope for buyers in 2025. We've also seen some homeowners who have been waiting to move starting to accept that rates are unlikely to go back to that really low 3% level anytime soon. So it would finally free up homes for buyers who have been sitting on the sidelines.
Canada's foreign minister and public safety minister are in Florida. They're meeting with officials from the Trump transition. The president-elect has threatened Canada with tariffs. Global aviation experts suggest that Russian anti-aircraft fire caused the crash of an Azerbaijani jetliner in Kazakhstan on Christmas Day. Russia's aviation authority says there were Ukrainian drone operations taking place at the time. For the second time in about a month, a stowaway found aboard a Delta plane. This person discovered during taxiing from Seattle. The person was arrested. This is ABC News.
I'm James K.